Now, here's a story about growing up in Appalachian, Kentucky. Trampoline is a debut novel by Kentucky author Robert Guype. The book has dazzled Appalachian authors like Silas House and Anne Pancake. Roxy Todd talked with Guype recently about why he wrote Trampoline, which is about a young teenager in central Appalachia who's angry, frustrated, and trying to break free.
Deep in eastern Kentucky, Dawn Jewel is an angry 15-year-old who lives at the foot of Blue Bear Mountain. Her mother is addicted to pills and alcohol, and her father has died in a mining accident. Dawn lives with her grandmother, but that isn't a normal life either because her grandmother has become swept up in an anti-mountaintop removal campaign, and Dawn isn't sure how she feels about any of this.
You know, it's like this is not a life that if she could have chosen any life that she necessarily would have chosen. But it becomes about, well, what do you do when you don't get to choose? What do you do when you don't have a bunch of choices? She's trying to do something that she feels is right. But, I mean, I think that's why she's angry, right? It's like she doesn't want to have to do this. Why can't she be like a kid that doesn't have to deal with all of this? Why can't she just, you know, she often is talking about, why can't I just be normal?
Robert Guype created Dawn Jewel 9 years ago after attending a writer's conference in Kentucky. He decided to buy 2 notebooks and try to fill them with writing over the weekend. He holed away inside a hotel and filled those notebooks with sketches and ideas about Dawn Jewel.
I think the thing is that, you know, she's not typical, but in many ways she is typical of so many young people in the area where I live now.
Towards the beginning of the book, Dawn finds herself speaking up against strip mining at a public hearing. For the remaining pages of the novel, she deals with her contradictory feelings about the attention that people give her because of her words. Some people who work in the coal mines resent her, bully her for speaking out.
She defends her grandmother, but in the process, says what she thinks ought to be going on with the environmental protection, and in particular protection of this mountain that's part of their family's history. And so she's not really very comfortable with that and kind of is upset with herself for speaking out. And her reaction to that is she steals several vehicles in succession. And she has a really good guy who's her cousin who works in the coal mines. And he comes and rescues her where she's driven a Oldsmobile off a cliff and or out down the side of a bank. And so she takes his truck without his permission. But he comes to get it back with one of his coworkers. And I'll just start there if that's okay. Denny came to pick up his truck with a guy from work. The guy wore a ball cap and looked at me hard. His look said, "I have a life and it is a good life. A life of laughing and closeness and fun. And you ain't never going to be a part of it, weirdo tree hugger girl." Mamaw knew the boy. He had been to her house before. She had been to his. Mamaw had been a school nurse. People knew her that way besides her being a tree hugger. She had saved all kinds of people, all kinds of money on doctor's bills. She had that going for her besides what she was trying to do to stop a strip job. I had nothing going for me besides. There wasn't any well but with me. I was a freak, soft and four-eyed, with black fingernail polish, a dead daddy, a drunk mama, a crackhead brother, outlaw uncles, and divorced grandparents who made trouble for normal people every time they come off the ridge. Denny smiled at me with his eyes. He put his hand out, and I put the keys in it. He nodded and turned to get in his truck. "That's it," his friend said. "Just take the keys and go." "I reckon," Denny said. "Well, I'll be damned," his friend said. Denny opened the truck door. I said, "Well, what would you say if it was your truck?" Mamaw said, "Dawn." Denny's buddy turned to faces. "I wouldn't say nothing," he said. "I'd have called the law. I'd had you put in jail, you lawless thing. It wouldn't matter if you was my cousin." "Lawless," I said. "Like when y'all mine off your permit and blast 10 times more than you're supposed to. Build ponds where you ain't got no permit. Lie on your water reports. Lawless like that?" "You need to shut your mouth," Denny's buddy said, "'cause you don't know what you're talking about." "What?" I said. "Break a law on a bulldozer and it ain't a crime." "I work," he said. "That would be something you don't know nothing about, you truck thieving little freak."
At points throughout Trampoline, Dawn is so angry that she keeps running away and stealing cars and beating people up at school. But even she doesn't understand why she's so angry.
If her default is just kind of being aggravated that she's having to process all this, you know, and that she's that whole push-pull of wanting somebody to talk to about it and just being resentful that, you know, you one, you need somebody. Two, you know, you're afraid to rely on anybody. You know, you're at some level fearful of confiding in anybody. You want contradictory things in the same moment a lot of times.
And the name Trampoline, I know her dad was building a trampoline shortly before he died, and they also had to rescue Dawn's mom with a trampoline, so the trampoline comes back a lot. What does it mean to you?
I think that there's a Joe Henry song called Trampoline, and it's about, it just talks about the idea of jumping so high you never come down, and this whole idea of can you escape, and gravity is a foe, and, you know, there's also the metaphor of, there's some astronaut metaphors in achieving escape velocity from Earth's gravity.
The floor will have its way, it seems. It fights me like a trampoline. It won't let me on the ground. So this time I'm not coming down.
By day, Robert Geip directs the Appalachian program at Southeast Kentucky Community and Technical College in Cumberland, Kentucky, where he helps students record oral histories. He works with the students to then use these oral histories for inspirations in a series of plays called Higher Ground. Geip decided he wanted to write a novel right after the first Higher Ground play launched in 2006. He writes by reading everything over and over out loud.
There's a joy that comes from just the interaction of actually telling stories to each other that still hasn't been topped, and, you know, even persists into onto Facebook, that, you know, we're all kind of telling each other what happened that day. And it would be fun to go back to the days of Homer or in some Native American tribe, you know, where people would recite days and days of verse, you know, from memory, just and telling stories that way. I mean, you know, I think that it all should be spoken.
Here's Geip reading later in the same chapter we heard earlier, where Dawn has wandered back into the woods behind her grandmother's house.
Snow and trees gave way to snow and rocks as I climbed. Fresh, I said to myself, everything fresh. Maybe, the wind said to my face, maybe you should cut yourself off on that liquor. I sat on a rock at the crest of the ridge and exhaled. Everything to the north of us sprawled out in front of me. Cut yourself off, I said to the wind. I took out the pipe and the pouch, but I didn't have a lighter. I did not have fire. I stood up to kill myself. I looked down. There was a ledge 10 feet below. I could jump down on that to practice kill myself. I jumped off the mountain.
Spoiler alert, Dawn doesn't kill herself in this book. And Geip says there are two more books coming after this one, featuring Dawn over the next 10 years of her life. But of course, Dawn doesn't know that. Like any 15-year-old, she thinks she has to figure everything out within the next couple of months. She's working on it, aided by the soundtrack that comes to her by her crush, a radio DJ named Willett. Willett plays bands like Velvet Underground and punk rock bands like Black Flag. But Dawn Jewel doesn't have a favorite song.
I think that's exactly right. She'll name these songs, but she's not going to say, that's my favorite song. Because you try and mess it up for her. You'd steal her CD or something. I'm not telling you that. But, you know, really, it's like Dawn doesn't care about that stuff. I mean, I think the thing about her is, it's like, she's just not going to have any favorite music. If I had favorite music, somebody would take it away from me. I mean, I think that that's a big part of, you know, her defensiveness.
It's beyond apathy. It's a choice.
Exactly. It's not apathy. It's just like, you know, you're not going to take anything else away from me.
Trampoline is Robert Geip's first novel. He grew up in Kingsport, Tennessee, and he moved to Kentucky in the 1980s. He's worked as a pickle packer, a forklift driver, and as an educator and radio DJ with Apple Shop and WMMT Radio in Whitesburg, Kentucky. Oh, and even though Guype says that Dawn Jewel doesn't have a favorite song, she is pretty impressed to hear that there are two versions of a song called Nervous Breakdown, the original by Black Flag. And a new countrified version by Whiskey Town. And I'm going to leave you with that. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd.